This morning, it's good to be here, and this is a lesson that, well, let me give you a little bit of history. I've been studying over several weeks with a man who's visited here before who has said, I really would like to study the book of Galatians with you. I think it has some good insights for you. I said, I think it does too. I said, I'll be glad to study you. So every Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock, my phone would ring. And he would be on the other end. He says, are you ready for our Bible study? And I said, yes. So we studied about an hour and a half every Sunday afternoon on the book of Galatians. And we just finished that not too long ago. And so, but what I got out of Galatians is not exactly what he got out of Galatians. He does not understand what the freedom that is offered through the study of the book of Galatians is all about. He has been ingrained with teachings that are so buried so far down, you know, you couldn't use a sledgehammer to break it loose. But that's okay. I know he loves God. I know that he cares about God, and he's striving to do what God wants him to do. He just is afraid to open his eyes and see the freedoms that actually are given to us. I think we are too. I think sometimes we are afraid to open our eyes and see the freedoms that are bestowed by the teachings of Paul on behalf of Jesus Christ. And so I want to talk about some of those today. We have freedom now because Christ made us free. So stand strong. Do not change and go back into slavery of the law. Listen, I, Paul, tell you that if you go back to the law by being circumcised, Christ does you no good. Again, I warn every man, if you allow yourselves to be circumcised, you must follow the law, all the law. If you try to be made right with God through the law, your life with Christ is over. You have left God's grace. But we have the true hope that comes from being made right with God. And by the Spirit, we wait eagerly for this hope. When we are in Christ Jesus, it's not important if we are circumcised or not. The important thing is faith, the kind of faith that works through love. You are running a good race. Who stopped you from following the true way? This change did not come from the one who chose you. Be careful. Just a little yeast makes the whole batch of dough rise. But I trust in the Lord that you will not believe those different ideas. Whoever is confusing you with such ideas will be punished. My brothers and sisters, I do not teach that a man must be circumcised. If I teach circumcision, why am I still being attacked? If I still taught circumcision, my preaching about the cross would not be a problem. I wish the people who are bothering you would castrate themselves. My brothers and sisters, God called you to be free, but do not use your freedom as an excuse to do what pleases your sinful self. Serve each other with love. The whole law is made complete in this one command. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you go on hurting each other and tearing each other apart, be careful, or you may completely destroy each other. So I have basically an outline of the things I'm going to talk about up on the screen, if you want to look at it. And the first is Galatians chapter 1, and I titled it Call to Freedom, Redemption. And I want us to look at it in this from this viewpoint. Think about when Christ was on trial, and the people were given the choice to release either Jesus or a criminal, a robber, a murderer named Barabbas. And they chose Barabbas. He was redeemed. He was set free because of Jesus. Are we Barabbas? Do we take and realize that we're just like Barabbas? That we were in sin, we were murderers, we were robbers, we were breakers of the law of God, and we were sentenced to death. That there was no hope for us at that time until Christ redeemed us as he redeemed Barabbas. This is what the passage says. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. So freedom comes from being released, from being redeemed, from being set free from the things that handcuff us to the life that we chose before we chose Christ. the chains of our sin, the chains of our guilt. If Christ has set you free, he has set you free indeed, that you might be free. Do not become unfree. Do not become subject again to the yoke of slavery. Slavery is the opposite of freedom. It's being bound to something. It's being handcuffed. It's being shackled. And that means that that has control of you, that has ownership over you, and that you are not free to choose to be who you want to be. You are subject to what that which shackles you has you doing. Here's an example of this. I've given this the children of Israel. The Israelites had the problem in the wilderness. As soon as things started to get a little difficult, they began to long for the good old days of Egypt. You know, we do that sometimes. We long for the good old days. We tend to look back on our past as usually being better than it probably really was. You know, the good old days. After all, in Egypt, there was good food and plenty of water. Things you miss in the desert. It wasn't long before the Israelites were wondering whether it might be better to return to Egypt. What had they forgotten? They had forgotten their slavery. They had forgotten their taskmaster's whip. They had forgotten the dreary toil that they were under. They had forgotten that they were under a sentence of death. They had forgotten all of those things because we tend to live for the here and now. They had forgotten all those things, and they said, we had it so much better in Egypt. Well, they really didn't. They didn't have it better in Egypt, but sometimes we lose sight of our direction because we look back on our past. Galatians 5, 2 and 4, the danger to freedom. Paul has come to Galatia preaching the good news that Christ died and rose before, and that he saves both Jews and Greeks, both circumcised and uncircumcised. Obviously, from what we've read in the scripture, that they initially believed that. They believed that that's why that who Christ was. They believed why Christ had come. They believed the message. They turned to Christ in faith. They trusted him as their Lord and their Savior. But here comes this group of self-appointed law-keeping legalists to town. And they see these Christians who have turned from their idols to serve the living God. And they say, hold on. You people can't really be Christians unless you are circumcised the way Jesus was circumcised. Because Jesus was a Jew from the Hebrew traditions. And Jesus had been circumcised. All of his disciples were Jewish. Perhaps trusting in Christ isn't enough. This is the message that they were teaching. That you had to be circumcised as the Jews were circumcised, because Jesus was circumcised. Indeed, he points out such an instance actually has the opposite effect of cutting you off from the benefits of Christ. Paul says, you know, if you require circumcision, you're going to have to require everything. You're going to have to require all that goes along with the law. If you're returning to these rituals as a means to please God, in verse 2 it says, Christ will be of no benefit to you. Verse 3, it says, you are under obligation to keep the whole law. In verse 4, it says, you have been severed from Christ. And also, at the end of verse 4, it says, you have fallen from grace. The scripture teaches us a lot of things about following Christ versus trying to combine Christ and other things, you know. People do that a lot of times. They'll take the message of Christ and they'll apply it, but they'll also put their own twist on it. They'll turn it around to meet their qualifications. As a matter of fact, they make qualifications for Christ and add to what Christ wants. You know, but Paul says there'll be no benefit to you. You know, you'll be under obligation to keep the whole law as the Hebrews were. But you have been severed from Christ if you do these things. You have fallen from grace. Don't miss this. The only way Christ will save you is if he is the only way. If you trust in Christ and in something else, then Christ becomes of no effect. Verse 5. For we through the Spirit by faith are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. Jesus never said. They will know that you are my disciples because you are theologically correct. He said, they will know you are my disciples by your love. A lot of times, theology becomes a matter of faith to a lot of people. That you've got to have these particular sets of standards that we create, and we say based on the scripture, and maybe so, but we say this has to be done just this way and only this way, and we try to make ourselves disciples of Christ by following a theology instead of the simple four-letter word that Jesus that Paul talks about here. You know that you are my disciples by your love. Paul also says there's no condemnation in Christ for those who love Jesus. Verses 7 through 10, verse 7, says that you are running a race. You would think that guilt makes you run faster, but it isn't so. I know some of us have been steeped in guilt, over things that we've done in our lives, and sometimes that guilt can bury us, and sometimes that guilt can cause us to rise to be better people. Guilt actually hinders you from running the race. Laying a load of guilt is like putting on a heavy yoke on someone. And then I use this example. Imagine the Olympic races. The stands are filled with spectators. The runners are at the starting gate. And here is one runner who is carrying an 80-pound knapsack on his back. What is that? One of the judges asks. That is my instruction manuals on how to be a good runner. Crazy, isn't it? It is equally silly to try to run the Christian life with lugging around the burdens of legalism. Furthermore, it doesn't take a lot of legalism to weigh you down. We get so caught up in the legalism of we got to do it this way only, we got to do it this way only, we got to do it this way only, and we lose the freedom that is offered through Jesus Christ. That allows us to be a little different. That allows you and me to not always agree on certain things and it be okay. But there are those that will bind us to their theology. Freedom is opportunity. In Galatians 5:13 and 14. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word in this statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The opportunity is to serve. Love your God and your neighbors. Service is not slavery, but is the opportunity to love. Any service that you perform on behalf of God is to other people is opportunity. We have so many opportunities to take these two commandments that we've been given, to love your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, and turn them into opportunities, to turn them into service, to turn them into our guidebook, and live by those standards. Because when you live by love, when you treat each person in love, you are serving their needs, and your first thoughts are going to be, how can I be beneficial to these people? How can I serve my brothers and sisters? How can I serve my neighbors? How can I serve the people down the street? It's opportunity that people who truly love God look for. In 1 John 4:19 it says, we love because he first loved us. I'm going to go a little beyond what we had talked about, the scripture that was read right before I got up to speak. And he goes on in chapter 5, and I could go for hours just talking about this freedom. But this is something that caught me by surprise as I was studying for this lesson. The word fruit is karpos. It is in the singularity. It speaks not of fruits, but a single fruit. A lot of times we say the fruits of the Spirit are, and we go ahead and list them off. But it doesn't say that. It says the fruit of the Spirit. It's a conglomeration of all of those things that it talks about as being the fruit. You can take all of the chemicals that make up an apple and you can put them into a box and shake them up, but this will not make an apple. apples have to be grown. They have to grow on apple trees. By the same token, the fruit of the Spirit cannot be gotten by reading a list of attributes and then trying to do them through self-effort. It is fruit. It must be grown. The growth is brought about by the energy of the Spirit, as we're told. It's His work, and this is why it is called the fruit of the Spirit. A lot of times we leave out the Spirit in developing the fruit. And each one of us is that apple that's growing and following the fruit of the Spirit and hopefully being guided by the Spirit in following these. You know, when we look to the Spirit, we find the Spirit of God. And when we ignore the Spirit, we don't find the Spirit of God because we haven't sought the Spirit of God. And anyone that knows me knows that I truly believe there is power in following the Spirit of God, that you can accomplish so much more, and you can move so many more people as you teach them if you approach them with the fruit of the Spirit. So in conclusion, freedom in Christ or slave to sin. You know, most of us have made that choice. We have chosen the freedom that is in Christ. Freedom means that you're not bound, that you're not following a bunch of rules and regulations, that you're not pinned in by a doctrine, but that when you act in love, when you act in compassion, when you act in the fruit of the Spirit, that is where our freedom comes from. Freedom is obtained through faith. Faith is the past that we study in the Word of God. Faith is the present that we now live. And faith is the hope that we believe in for our future. Freedom is sustained by love. There's no other word that grants us freedom other than the word love. If we love God because He loved us, then we have found freedom. We have found the freedom to return that love of God, not only to God Himself, but to our neighbors. Freedom is the absence of legalism. The very first sermon I ever preached when I was 15 years old was on mechanicalism in the church, how we had to do everything in just a certain way. We couldn't change it up. And we became like little machines that just followed a pattern. As if I made a machine that would do this, 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 and this, and that's all it would do. And that's the congregation that I grew up in, was very, 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 very legalistic, very mechanical in the way that they observe God, the way that they worship God. And I just felt a need to break away from that. It's not legalism. It's not following a bunch of laws, rules, and regulations. It's a lot of principles. The principles of love, the principles of Christ Jesus, the things that Christ stood for, are things that we can see and that we can apply without it being a hard, fast rule that you do it this way and you only do it this way. Freedom cannot be taken, but can be surrendered. Okay? In other words, you can't go in and just demand freedom, because it's not ours to demand. It's given through the grace of God. And so freedom is something that we surrender. We surrender ourselves to achieve that freedom. We surrender ourselves to God and make ourselves His children. And we surrender ourselves to His love, and therefore we find freedom through that love. Freedom is a gift of grace. It's the grace of Christ's death and resurrection. It's the grace that had been decided upon long before creation was even created. It's the grace that many look forward to in the coming of a Messiah. Even the Jews look forward to the coming of a Messiah, even though they didn't recognize the Messiah when He came. But Christ came, and Christ brought grace. And it was His gift, it was God's gift to us. It's what allows us to go before God's throne and petition God for many things that as his children. Freedom is spirit-led. Freedom is only found through following the fruit of the Spirit, through letting the Spirit take control and saying, Lord, show me where to go. Show me what to do. Show me how to do it. That's spirit-led. You know, it's surrendering our wants and our needs to the needs of God, to the wants of God, to the wants of, to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We have freedom. That freedom is found in Jesus Christ. And if you've been tied down or bound by legalism, if you've been bound by doctrine, if you've been bound by things that have you pigeonholed into just a particular area, and you want to experience that freedom that comes through following the Holy Spirit, you know, we can pray for you about that, and you can pray for you about that. If you have never been become a Christian, if you've never been a follower of Christ, if you've never surrendered your slavery to sin, you can also do that by being baptized and saying, Lord, I want the opportunity. I want the opportunity to love. I want the opportunity to follow. I want the opportunity to willingly become a slave to righteousness. If you have any of those needs, would you please stand as we sing?